May call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I, before we call this witness, I just want to let you know our next plaintiff witness is also an artist, and she's brought a couple pieces she'd like to discuss in the course of her testimony that we've arranged with Ms. Looney to have displayed, if that's okay. Thank you. Plaintiff's call, Olivia Vesevich. Can you please state your name?
My name is Olivia Vesevich.
Could you please spell your name?
O-L-I-V-I-A-V-E-S-O-V-I-C-H.
And how old are you, Olivia?
I turned 20 last month.
And how old were you when this lawsuit was filed?
I was 16.
And where do you live?
I live in Missoula, Montana.
Were you born and raised in Missoula?
Yes, I was.
And what family members do you live with, Olivia?
I live with my mother, my sister, and our two dogs.
Do you have other family in Missoula?
Yes, I have my grandparents and my cousin.
That's pretty great to have grandparents close by. Do you spend much time with them?
Yes, I try to spend as much time with them as I possibly can. I try to help take care of them, and I love them with all my heart.
Have you ever testified in court before today, Olivia?
No, I have not.
Are you attending college currently?
Yes, I attend the University of Montana at the Davidson Honors College.
And what is the Davidson Honors College?
The Davidson Honors College is an honors program that the University of Montana offers, and it provides a community-based mindset and accelerated courses that are in various fields of study that extend outside of my main field of study.
Were you awarded a scholarship to attend?
Yes, I was awarded the Provost Scholarship and another and an array of scholarships from the University of Montana.
Is the Provost Scholarship a big honor?
Yes, it's a very high honor.
Did that scholarship cover your full tuition?
Along with the other array of scholarships, yes, my tuition is fully covered.
Oh, that's great. What are you studying in college?
I am majoring in English with two minors, or with a concentration in teaching, and two minors, one in art and one in women and gender sexuality studies.
And are you an artist, Olivia?
Yes, I am.
Please tell us about your art.
My art is an exploration of my own personal experiences, along with the natural world and the mystical elements that exist within our world.
At this time, Your Honor, I would like to direct the court's attention to the wire sculpture there to Olivia's right. And Olivia, could you please describe this?
Yes, so this is a sculpture that I began making in 2020. It is titled Humanity's Disconnection from the Waters, and it is an exploration that I did about humanity's disconnection from our natural world and the ways in which this disconnection has allowed for climate change to pollute and put our environment in danger. And there are many elements to it, if I may explain each element. So the mermaid sculpture structure is initially supposed to be a representative of the disconnect from the human half. This is only of the fish half. There is no part of the human half. And this is to represent our disconnection from the natural world. And then the plastic bag, the wire sculpture is filled with plastic bags that I saved from being thrown away to discuss the impacts of plastic pollution in all of our waterways and in our natural world. And then the mermaids are often known to be colorful. And I added the wire, or the yarn, the acrylic yarn to this piece to represent three things. One, is the tangled web that is climate change and how there are so many complexities to it and the intricacies of the climate crisis. And then it also represents acrylic yarn is made from synthetic fabric. And each time we wash our clothes with this synthetic fabric, it adds microplastics to our waters. And this is a commentary on that. And it is also a commentary upon the fishing wires that are among some of the highest polluters of our seas. And that explains it to a great extent, although it is not the full extent, but yes.
Thank you, Olivia. And do you have another art piece in the courtroom today?
Yes, I do. I have a painting titled Gaia.
And Your Honor, should we allow the wire sculpture to
thank you
run away? Thank you. Your Honor, may I approach the witness with her other piece of art?
Yes. Thank you. So this is a painting that I made in 2021, and it is titled Gaia, which is another name for Mother Nature. And Mother Nature is within all of us. And so this is also a self-portrait of myself. And it is about the climate despair that I feel, about the despair that I feel about climate change. I made this when I was in the brink of my sadness and I just needed an outlet. And so I turned to art, as I often do. And this was an exploration of my despair. So the waterfall tears represent precisely what I was feeling in the moment when I made this painting. And then the orange and yellow glow around Gaia is representative of the fact that our world, my world, is on fire. And this painting might look only full of despair, but I choose to have hope. I choose a world in which there is no hope is a far too devastating reality. And I know that our world, I know that our people are resilient. I know that I am resilient. And I know that we have, albeit fleeting, time. There is still time. And the flowers are representative of that. They're representative of the hope, of the resilience of us, of nature, of everyone. And this is a painting that I made in my, like, one of my saddest moments about climate change. But I made it because I know that even in those moments of, like, despair, the definition of despair is complete and utter lack of hope. But I found that hope because I know it exists. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivia. And what does the moon symbolize in this painting?
The moon symbolizes my family, primarily my grandmother. One of her nicknames is the Moon-Faced Girl. And so I added her in this painting because she is the person that helped develop my moral compass. And I love my family. I have the deepest love for them. And it also represents my love of this world and my love of the waters because the moon controls the tides of the oceans. Thank you.
You must be really close to your grandmother.
Yes, I am. There's so many aspects of my grandmother, but one that is coming to me now, what I would like to share with everyone, is that purple is the color of my heart, is the color of highest love in my family. My grandmother, she was a child, an elementary school librarian at Hugget Elementary in Missoula, and her last name is Pearl, and P-U-R-L, and one of the kids called her Miss Purple. And so then she began wearing purple all the time, and it just became her color, and she passed it down to me. And my other grandmother in Croatia actually has a purple house, and so purple is just the color of my family. It's my sister's favorite color, and that's why my hair is purple, is because it's the color of my family, and like I said, the color of highest love to me.
Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you.
Olivia, you mentioned you're pursuing a major in English with an emphasis in teaching. Why did you choose that major?
I chose that major because I, throughout my entire life, have always known that I've wanted to be a teacher. And I believe in the power of future generations, and I want to be one of the people that is helping provide them a safe space to learn and grow in and become the full extent of what they can be, because I think that is why, that's part of the beauty of humanity, is that each person has an opportunity to become the greatest version of themselves. And my teachers have helped me become the greatest version of myself, and I want to help future generations have the best future they can possibly have.
Olivia, I've placed a slide on the screen. Do you recognize this image?
Yes, I do. This is an image of me teaching. I actually work at this Montessori now, but this was before. I worked there. My mother works there, and I was teaching some students French as part of my international baccalaureate program. I had a creativity action service project, and this was in a series of three times that I went with the students to teach them a little bit of the French language, French culture. We did some drawings of like the biggest French cultures, like aspects of like the Eiffel Tower and stuff. And it was a really fun experience. It was one of my first experiences with teaching, but definitely not one of my last.
What do you like to do for fun, Olivia?
I like to do a whole array of things. As I've testified, I am an artist, so I love to work in art. I love to make art with my friends, go outside and like watercolor in parks. I love to go on hikes with my dogs, as seen in this photo from Mount Jumbo on the L Trail that I took this year on one of my hikes with them. I love to go on hikes with my friends. I specifically love flower hikes. Those are some of my favorites. I love to go swimming with my friends. This is an image that was taken last summer when I went with my best friend and her little brother up to Salmon Lake, and we had the whole lake to ourselves. We went on the weekday, and it was just a really fun and special experience to get to swim in Montana's lovely, beautiful waters.
And living in Missoula, you must spend a little time on the Clark Fork River. Is that true?
Yes, I love to float it as much as I can. This is an image that I took in October of 2022, and because I love the autumn and I just thought it was so beautiful, just walking on the bike trail, and I was just in awe of the beauty of Missoula.
What's your favorite place to go to in Montana?
My most favorite place in the entire world is Flathead Lake, specifically Skidoo Bay. It's where my family and friends had a lake cabin, and I spent my summers there as a child. Just every single summer, we would go up as much as we possibly could, like two times, like every weekend. And this is just a place where this once, the place I learned to swim. It was the place where I fell in love with Montana, and it was the place where I fell in love with the great outdoors.
Olivia, do you recall when you first learned about climate change?
Yes. I feel like I had always had a knowledge that I can't remember like exactly when I knew. I just feel like I grew up knowing that climate change was pertinent to us, but I had no idea to the extent that it would be. But I remember I was in my sixth grade class, and we were in the sixth grade science class, and we were talking about Glacier National Park. And my teacher told us that our generation's children would be the last generation to see the glaciers in Glacier National Park. And that just sent me reeling. It's spiraling. I had no idea that climate change was going to steal the glaciers from one of Montana's most beautiful places. And it sent me into a long journey of studying climate change and becoming a climate activist. It sparked that in me.
Have you studied climate change in any of your classes in college?
Yes, I recently took an environmental science course in my first semester of college.
You mentioned that you got into activism, and could you please describe what we're seeing here?
Yes, in this photo, we're seeing a picture of me and some other people outside of John Tester's office in Missoula. This was a walkout that it was partly a walkout that some of my fellow club members did. The girls in the front, we were all in high school at the time, and we were all part of a club called SAVE, which is Students Against Violating the Environment at Hellgate High School in Missoula. And then we met with Sunrise Movement, and we were protesting for the Green New Deal.
And did you ever begin organizing yourself?
Yes. Later that year, I began organizing myself. I enjoyed protesting, but I felt like I wanted my voice to be heard, and I wanted to be involved in the organizing aspect of climate activism. And so I had an opportunity to work with a wonderfully talented group of people to organize Missoula Climate Strike in September of 2019. And it was my first time speaking at a rally. I spoke to a crowd of, I think, over 200 people. And it was very powerful. I got to listen to so many wonderful speakers that day, and working with so many wonderful activists in Missoula, it just made me feel hopeful for a future, to know that there were so many wonderful people working on this.
Is it important to you to bring awareness about climate change to others?
Yes, it is the most pertinent issue of our times. And I think that everybody needs to know exactly how critical climate action is.
Olivia, I've put another image on the screen. Can you please describe this?
Yes, this is an image of me biking along the Madison Street pedestrian bridge earlier this year. And Missoula has a wonderful trail system, a bike trail system, and you can bike to so many places in Missoula without ever having to cross the street, and it makes Missoula really, Missoula is a very bike-friendly town, and I try to bike as much as I possibly can, especially when we're in nicer months. I don't bike in winter, but I do bike as much as I can.
Why do you choose to bike?
To lower my own personal carbon footprint. I think that I think every step is very important. And so I do my best to minimize my own carbon footprint.
Do you take other steps in your personal life to minimize your carbon footprint?
Yes. My family and I have a farm share. So we get our vegetables from a local Missoula grower. To minimize our carbon footprint in that aspect. And also if you need to eat locally organic food is always wonderful. I try to minimize my electricity use and just like all of the basic things like water, limiting water use, eating the fewest amount of meat as the littlest amount of meat that I possibly can. And
Do you think it's important that everyone does their part to limit their impacts on climate change?
Yes, I think that everybody has a role to play in this. I think that my role is important, and I also know that the state of Montana's role in limiting their carbon footprint is vastly important.
Olivia, has climate change impacted you personally?
Yes, climate change has definitely impacted me personally.
And can you give us some examples or an example of your lived experience that you could share with the court in this space?
Yes. Climate change has impacted my ability to breathe. I have the smoke. It makes it very challenging for me to breathe. This is an image that I took this May, which was a very harrowing time to see smoke starting so early in the Missoula Valley. It made me feel very terrified for what this summer holds, and I am still terrified for how smoky our summer will be.
Do you have asthma, Olivia?
Yes. When I was in seventh grade, I was diagnosed with exercise-induced asthma, and I was prescribed an inhaler.
How does wildfire smoke affect your asthma?
Wildfire smoke, it makes it so my asthma is triggered even without exercising. I could simply be outside, and I would need to use my inhaler because of the way the smoke is. And to describe the way that smoke makes me feel, it feels like it's suffocating me if I'm outside for too long. Like if I'm outside for minutes, that's the maximum amount of time I can be outside on a bad day. I feel like I can't breathe. I feel, and that's a terrifying feeling to not be able to breathe and that, yeah.
Have you had an experience, kind of a firsthand experience dealing with a wildfire itself?
Yes, I have. One of my first experiences with knowing exactly how scary forest fires were, I was at a horse camp when I was a child, and there was a fire on the Lobo Mountain right next to Highway 12, and it closed Highway 12. And my mother, she called, like, I remember calling on the landline, and I was calling my mom, and I was just telling her that camp was, like, gonna be shut down, like, most kids went home because most of them lived in Lolo, and so they weren't, they didn't have to stay, but the highway to get to where I was closed, and so my mom couldn't come get me, and I remember hearing the panic in her voice, the sheer panic. She was so scared. And that terrified me, like, to have your mother be terrified. And I remember comforting my little sister. And it was my mother. Like, she wanted to drive around the other side, which would have been, like, a five-hour drive. Luckily, the smoke cleared out, or the fire cleared up enough for her to come through. But I remember there was a moment there where I thought the fire was going to come and, like, get to the ranch where I was, and that I was going to have to go even further away from my mother, and it was just a very scary experience to experience as a child.
Do you remember about how old you were when that happened, Olivia?
I don't exactly. I would say probably like 9 or 10.
How did you and your family cope with wildfire smoke in the summer?
We close all of the windows in our house. We have air purifiers, but in times when it's really bad, my mother will look at a smoke map. And she will find where the smoke is, where the air quality is best and the smoke isn't. And we will go on a trip there. We've gone on trips to other parts of Montana, Washington, and Idaho.
Olivia, I placed another image on the monitor. Could you please describe what we're seeing here?
Yes. So I have spring allergies. And as the years have gone by, they have gotten increasingly worse with my eyes swelling shut. This was taken at a time when my allergies weren't even as bad as they get. And as you can see, it's a very painful experience to have your eyes be swelling shut and so red and itchy. And I can barely see, and it completely takes like my whole like week that it lasts, or 2 weeks that it lasts, just completely controls that.
So does it impact the activities you usually do?
Yes, I really don't go outside. I don't go see people because, they're swelling shut, and I look a little silly. So it's, I don't really go and see people, which is, that's a lonely time, but it definitely impacts my activities.
Olivia, when you showed us your art, particularly your Gaia painting earlier, you mentioned your climate despair and how it's reflected in your art. Do you believe climate change is impacting your mental health?
Yes, I absolutely believe that climate change is impacting my mental health. As I've testified earlier, it impacts my way to breathe, my manner of breathing, and like I said, like not being able to breathe, that is a very scary, panic-inducing experience, which, and then not, like, my eyes being in so much physical pain also has a psychological toll on me, but also, I would say the biggest thing that has impacted my mental health is the not knowing what our future holds and knowing that there are so many actions that the people in power, the state of Montana, can take to minimize these reactions, to minimize the effects of climate change, that there are so many things, and knowing that people just aren't listening to what people have been begging for decades.
How has your anxiety, Olivia, over the climate crisis impacted your plans for the future?
As I previously testified earlier, I said that I've always known that I wanted to be a teacher. I've also always known that I wanted to be a mother. But I don't know if that's the future that there will be for me. Climate change is reaping so much havoc in our world right now. And I know that it will only be getting worse because as I've seen throughout my life, the effects of climate change have gotten worse. They have, the severity of my experiences has increased year by year. And I know that it will continue to do so if we continue with business as usual. And I know that I would not want to make a child endure that. And it has been one of the greatest sadnesses of my life, knowing like my family is one of the most important parts of my life, and knowing that I might not get to start a family of my own. It breaks my heart. It really does. And yeah.
Olivia, can you help us understand what your anxiety feels like in your body?
Yes. So it feels, experience my anxiety in a lot of ways, in a lot of places in my body, but I would say like the biggest one would be, it feels like there's this giant weight on my chest that's crushing me. And I would say it probably feels most like, I describe it as like an elephant sitting on my chest. It feels like this crushing thing that's just weighing on me, and it makes it hard for me to be able to breathe, and it makes, I also feel it in my throat, and I feel, like, it feels like something's grabbing my throat, like, from the inside, and then you feel it in my eyes, and the tears that start. And also in my nose stings every time I cry. But I definitely feel my pain of climate change throughout my body.
Olivia, you testified earlier about all of the actions you're taking personally to reduce your impact on climate change. Do you believe the state of Montana also has an obligation to do its part?
Yes, I know that the state of Montana has an obligation to uphold our constitutional rights. They have an obligation to uphold our constitutional right to a clean and healthful environment. And I know that the state has the power to do so. I know.
Olivia, why did you decide to become a plaintiff in this lawsuit and sue the state of Montana?
I wanted my voice to be heard. I wanted the court to hear my voice and hear my story. I wanted to make a difference in this world. I love our world so much. I have the deepest love for everyone in this world and everything that is a living being, and even all of the rocks and everything, every part of our beautiful world. And I wanted to speak up for our world, and I wanted to speak up for myself, and I wanted to speak up for those who do not have a voice. And I had the opportunity to be a part of this case, and I wanted to amplify the voices of those who are not heard and those who are not yet able to be heard.
Olivia, what are you asking the court to do to help you?
I am asking the court to uphold our constitutional right to a clean and healthful environment, and I'm also asking the court to listen to the experts that have spoken in this testimony and have spoken in this trial, and I'm also asking you to listen to all of the other plaintiffs and everyone that has been asking for so long. I just want you to listen to us and really hear us.
Olivia, when you described your Gaia painting, you talked about that it also symbolizes hope. As you sit here today, do you still feel hope?
I do. I have felt so much hope throughout the course of this trial, getting to listen to all of the people that care, getting to see all of the support for this case, and getting to hear from all of the experts I have so much hope for that our state is going to take actions, and I have hope that other states are going to take our lead, and that the rest of the world is going to follow our lead, and that we still do have time. And I know we have time, and I know that everyone in this world is resilient, and I know that we all can and will. I have hope because an alternative is not a world that I want to live in. I do not want to live in a world without hope, so I will always carry the hope within my heart, and I know that so many people also carry that hope with them.
Thank you, Olivia. I have no further questions.
Thank you.
No question.
All right. Thank you. You may step down.
Thank you, Your Honor.